appreciate Jack's words a couple Wednesdays ago. It's just about respect for one another and respect for the Lord. And so I know if you use them for a Bible app, that's fine. Turn the volume all the way down now. And everyone says, yeah, I know. That's to everyone else. But inevitably, there's every service, somebody's phone goes off because, oh, that was me. I forgot to do it. So let's remember now. All right. And again, it's just respect. But it's interesting. This is Ad Week, and they do surveys, and they know what they're talking about because they place ads, and it's all about marketing, revenue, and so these surveys are very important to them. So adults consume an entire hour more of media per day than they did just last year. For a total, this is what got me, 10 hours and 39 minutes a day. That's media, whether it's Facebook, your cell phone, TV, all different things. That's a lot of time. So the next thing, it just makes sense then. When it comes to children, study shows that kids understand smartphones better than real life. In other words, they know how to work it, and if you got a smartphone, you makes you feel real dumb, doesn't it? You know, if you're an older person like myself, you're like, how do you do this thing? And kids just, oh, that was easy. Now, how do they know their smartphone so well? Oh, it probably has some correlation with the 10 and a half hours they spend in media, right? The time that they spend makes them proficient in what they're doing. But yeah, when it comes to real life, they struggle. Interaction and socializing. Now, there's a lesson here, isn't there? And the lesson has to do with following Christ. Because you become good at that which you spend time with. And it's not just if you will, it's when you will. It's a matter of time, isn't it? And so we've been talking about discipleship, that disciples are followers. And we follow Jesus so we can learn from Jesus. And we're learning from Jesus not just so we can get some head knowledge or we can be religious, but so we can live like Jesus. That's the process of following a rabbi, which Jesus accepted that title. You look at him, you watch him, you listen to him, you see how he engages with others, so you can do the same thing. And the promise of Jesus is that if you follow him long enough and you listen and learn, you're going to become just like him. It's not hopeful or wishful thinking. It's not maybe you might you become like him. It's you will. And again, the verse that we go to over and over is in Luke chapter 6, which Dane read for us this morning, when he's talking about fruit, and fruit only comes from a good tree. It can't come from a bad tree. And here Jesus says, if you're following me, if you're learning from me, well, look at his promise. The student is not above the teacher. Everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Not might be, maybe, but will be. That's hopeful. That's just wonderful. That I can be like Christ. He said, well, now we got to set the playing field. I know there's some people sometimes in the audience that think they're already like Christ. Okay, we'll work with you later. There's some humbling we need to do, right? There's other people that think I could never be like Christ. Never could. There's too many things going on in my life, too many things I battle, too many things I fall short of, and I never do enough right things, I can never be like Christ. Well, we have to talk to you as well. Because the promise comes from Jesus, and it's not in ourselves that we become like Jesus. We become like Jesus by following him, by learning from him, by being trained by him. And so it's not in ourselves. Quit looking to ourselves, start looking to Jesus. And the promise is, and it's simply our lesson today, that in all things you'll be like Jesus if you learn from Jesus, if you continue to follow him. Now the problem is people just quit, and we're not going to be quitters, and we're going to talk about that a little more. So when we look at this, we're going to look at 3 points. We're going to look at Jesus and the idea that following Jesus is going to make like Jesus. Then we're going to look at what does it look to look like Jesus? What does that look like, living like Jesus? Because sometimes we don't have an idea what that is. It's not creative power. It's not miraculous power. What does it look like to live like Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Then third, we're going to look at the process of how that happens. So first, let's just look at this. Looking like Christ is expected in our lives. Expected not because demand or command, but it's a natural process. So we look in Luke or John chapter 15. And here we have this parable or this Jesus, not a parable, talking about he is the vine. And we've talked about it before. He is the trunk and the branches come off of him, thinking of a vine plant. And he's talking about that if you abide in me, you're going to bear much fruit. But if you don't abide in me, you know it, you can't bear any fruit. And furthermore, if you don't abide in me and you don't bear fruit, the Father's going to prune you and you'll be burned up. But if you do abide in him and bear fruit, he'll still prune you, so you'll bear more fruit. Either way, it could be painful. But verse 8 is the verse that we want to look at. And Jesus says, by this, got to get my glasses because I'm getting old, or wiser, and more distinguished, right, Donna? And so, and my memory's going, so I can't quote it. By this is my Father glorified. Here's how we're going to glorify God. That's what people want to know. A survey U.S. News did, and they asked, what am I here on the earth for? And here's the answer. It's to glorify God in our life. Jesus said, I've glorified thee, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. Jesus came with a mission, a purpose. He came with a work, and he said, I glorified you by accomplishing that work. And here Jesus tells us what our work is. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. And so prove your discipleship to be disciples. Now, there's some things we can talk about there, but it's just as simple as that. If you follow Christ long enough and you listen and learn and you abide in him, you're going to become just like him. You're going to bear fruit. You say, well, what's that fruit? I'm going to suggest it's becoming like Jesus. That's not evangelizing. That's a secondary fruit. The primary fruit is when a disciple's fully trained, he's just like his master. You know, I don't care what it is. If it's sports, if it's sales, if it's playing a piano, there's just a few things you have to master, a few fundamentals. I can teach you and coach you how to shoot a basketball. Not shoot it well, but I can coach you. There's just a few fundamental things you have to learn. Elbow in, eyes are on the rim, they'll follow through. Those things are easy. Playing the piano is the same way. But afterwards, if you give yourself up to practice and never quitting and being persistent, will you learn to shoot a basketball? Yes, it's the same thing in sales. There's five fundamental things in sales. And if you master those simple things, you can be successful at sales. And with Jesus, the same way. There's not a lot to learn. Just abide in him. If you master just a few things, you'll become just like him. Amen. Now, to me, that's exciting that there's that possibility. I don't have to be who I am today. So if you don't like yourself right now, that can change. You can make a difference tomorrow by starting to walk and follow Christ now. Say, well, people don't like me, and I'm just not very likable. That's okay. That can change. You can become like Jesus. Now, a lot of people say, well, I'm a very spiritual person. You hear this a lot, right? But yet, I don't go to church. I don't need to go to church. It's interesting. The number one thing that causes people not to follow Christ when they're looking from the outside in at the church is hypocrisy, isn't it? So this person who's very spiritual, they live the same as the world. They lie like the world. They steal like the world. They divorce like the world. They get angry like the world, but yet they're very spiritual and they're Christians. Yet they live no different than the world. And Jesus says, you can't bear that kind of fruit if you're attached to me. It's not possible. You're not following me. Simple, plain. You're not spiritual as all as you think you are. But the opposite still, again, is true. If you follow Christ and stay attached to him, it's natural. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Those who he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10. Don't lie to one another. Since you've laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who's being renewed to a true knowledge and according to the image of the one who created him. And again, our verse in Luke chapter 6, again, you'll be fully trained, you'll be just like him. It's natural. I couldn't help but notice after Brian led the first song, he stood back here and his son got up there and made the introduction. And I couldn't help but looking at it and said, boy, BJ's starting to look like his dad. They got the same beard, they got glasses, the same kind of hair, and that good wifely cooking. I didn't say that. Is that natural for a son to look like his dad?
Yes.
Is it abnormal? You're like, what has happened to you? You're looking like your parent. No, you say, well, that's just natural. It happens all the time. So why do we think that if we're following Christ as children of God, we don't end up looking like God? Looking like Jesus. It's natural. And so quit trying to put pressure on performing or conforming to his word and conforming to these rules and these standards. Quit that, because that's impossible. That's all about me. Worry about transforming yourself. Abiding in Christ and being trained by him and getting the new thinking in your head, the fruit will just come. It's just natural. It's just like those kids. They know their smartphone. Why? Because they spend a lot of time. You spend a lot of time learning and following Christ, thinking about Christ, you'll be just like him. Can't help it. It's both expected and it's natural. Now, well, what's the fruit then? What does it look like to live like Jesus? And it sounds like, preacher, you're saying we gotta live just like Jesus did on this earth. Well, that's pretty much it. You've got to be godlike. Like, wow, that's pretty, that's raising the standard or the bar pretty high. Well, look with me in 2 Peter chapter 1. We've looked at this text before, but it serves us well for what I would understand the fruit of following Jesus, what it looks like. Verse 2, 2 Peter 1. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our God and our Lord, our Jesus, our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these, he's granted us his precious, magnificent promises in order that by them, underline this, highlight it, you might become a partaker of the divine nature. The word partaker is the same word we get fellowship, a partner in. Now, this is amazing when you think about it. You've been born of Christ, so it really is not amazing. You're a son of God. You've been born of God through the word that is planted in you. So it's only natural that you're going to grow up to be like Christ. But it's still amazing to think that you can be partakers of the divine nature. Whatever that makes Jesus, Jesus, you can become just like that. Not the miraculous aspect, but let's read on. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. So now verse 5 through 7, he's going to give us a list of fundamental things that make us look like Jesus, that we can actively work on in employing them in our life. Verse 5, for this very reason, applying all diligence, you know, just be excited and energetic about this. In your faith, supply moral excellence. That word means this virtue of character. It's the kind of person that says he's going to do something, he does it. It's the kind of person that, well, they have this character like Christ or like Daniel, that they're going to be faithful to their God. And when tempted, they will stay true. And even though everyone else is denying God, they will not. It's a person that if you tell them to split this pile of wood and you don't have a log splitter, you just have an axe or a splitting maul, they don't whine and complain. They split the whole pile by hand. Why? Because personal character, it's something about who they are. When they give their word or they're given a task that's honorable, they do it. Then he says, add to that moral excellence. Did Jesus have that, by the way? That kind of character? to walk on the earth and live like he did. Add to that, he says, knowledge. Learn from Jesus. Learn who he is. Come to know him. We just sang that song, Knowing Jesus. And in your knowledge, self-control. That's a divine quality to control your passions, your desire, your temper, whatever it is. And then to your self-control, add perseverance. That means to be able to suffer long and just keep on keeping on. Did Jesus exhibit that while he was on this earth? He was weary, but he kept on to his goal. And to your perseverance, godliness. This is so huge that godliness is not necessarily godly behavior. First and foremost, it's a godly attitude. It's the right attitude towards God. And we're talking about Revelation class. If you're here Wednesday, you see that when John turns and sees who's speaking to him is Jesus, and he sees Jesus for who he really is, he falls on his face and it says like a dead man. What? Because when you're in the presence, you really appreciate who God is. That's the appropriate response. And yet people make jokes about God, about the man upstairs. They take him lightly. They treat him as though he's just another person. Godliness is a divine characteristic. When you have the proper respect and fear for who God is, and you love him with all your heart and soul. And that's something he says you've got to add to your life. And then to that, what does he say next? Add to that brotherly kindness. There's an escalating scale here. First, it's internal, and then it becomes external. This is part of the fruit, that now I start loving one another like Christ loved me. Was Jesus a lover that way? Every time someone asked him to give, he gave. He was a giver. And then add to the last one is add to brotherly love. You extended it to the whole world, and it's the word agape, love. That's love of enemies. It's love of those who mistreat you. It doesn't matter. You love. And God is love. So here we have a list of divine attributes. That notice what he says now in verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they render you neither useless. That's the worst thing to be in this world, is useless. Useless to anyone else and to the Lord and to myself. But they will render you neither useless nor unfruitful. Well, Jesus said you got to bear fruit to prove your discipleship. Here's the fruit. In the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, be all the diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing. For as long as you practice these things, you'll never stumble so as to fall away. And in this way, entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Because that's our last lesson in this first section of series of discipleship. You follow Jesus to become like Jesus, and you become like Jesus because someday we're going to live with Jesus. Entrance into heaven abundantly supplied. It's not like, okay, get in. It's welcome. And your whole attitude, am I going to make it, becomes one of doubt into one of great hope, and I can't wait. That's part, a preview of what's coming up next. So when we think about this, I have to ask, what's missing from this list? A divine attributes. So what kind of question is that? Well, sometimes we learn by asking what's not there, what as much as we learn from what God chose to put there by the Holy Spirit. He doesn't put there anything about your job. How to have good job skills, good to be a good employer. There's nothing about parenting in this list or being a good child. There's nothing here about sports or athletics. That's not a surprise. There's nothing here about being a song leader or preaching. That's interesting because sometimes we think bear fruit and fruit is those type of things. And we might want to come to God and say, God, what do you want me to do with my life? What kind of job do you want me to have? Now, you could come to God with maybe 16 different jobs, career opportunities. And when you come up with number one, he said, that's fine. That'd be great. Well, what about number two? And you explain what it is, the opportunity, where it takes you, all the investment you're going to have to do to get there. And you go, that's fine as well. And you do it for number 3 and 4. And finally, to number 10, he goes, yeah, that would be greatest too. He says, Lord, which one do you want me to take? And he would say this, I don't care what kind of career you have. What I care is what kind of person you become. Because your career will not take you to heaven. But your character and your person as being a true disciple of Christ will. It will open the doors of heaven to you. See, the Lord doesn't care what you do on this life necessarily. I know there's some parameters. I understand there's certain jobs you shouldn't have. But what he's more concerned is how you do it and what kind of person you become. Because you can be a greater success hauling garbage than a person that is a CEO of a big company. It doesn't matter if you're an athlete, or it doesn't matter if you're in a wheelchair. So what kind of person do we have these divine characteristics? So let me just say this. Ask yourself, when you're doing life planning, what kind of job do I want? What kind of career do I want to undertake? And what kind of education is necessary to do that? But rather than trying to fit your career into your discipleship or following Christ, ask, what kind of career do I need to become the disciple I want to be? How am I going to fit my job into my discipleship? Because that's the way it should be. Because I'm having a job so I can follow Christ and support myself, because that's one of the things he asked of me. You know, song leader, you know, I could pick preaching. A lot of people say, well, I can't song lead, so I don't think I can serve Christ. I can be like Christ. Christ could care less if you're a song leader or not. But he cares if you got virtue and character and self-control and you have godliness. Because if you have those things, you'll be a great song leader, won't you? Especially godliness, the right attitude towards God. That'll come through in the way you, the songs you pick, how you lead them, and how you're leading the people to sing in spirit and truth. That comes from a person that has a right attitude for God. You can't fake that. You can't fake it at all. But since I'm talking about that, sometimes I've heard, and I've said it once to myself, after a song leading, especially like Sunday night, we have a singing tonight, people get done, and afterwards they say thank you. After they led their song, and maybe it was a really good song, and it ended really well, and it was kind of moving, and he goes, thank you. Can I ask, who are you thanking, and what are you thanking them for? I mean, they weren't doing this for you, were they? They weren't singing loud for you, and it wasn't your great skills that caused this worship to happen. If anything, you should be thanking what? The Lord. Amen. Now, maybe there's a probe, but thank you for the opportunity to lead the song for you. Maybe that's what you're asking. I'm just asking you to ask yourself, why would you say thank you? Because God's more interested in what kind of person you are rather than how good a job you do at song leading. Because if you have the right person, you take on the divine characteristic, you'll be a great song leader. Is that true? That's his parenting, that's everything else. It's going to follow that way. So, how do I start incorporating these things in my life? That's a good question. What can we do? First, I'm going to give you 4 P's, then we'll just talk about some principles. When we talk about how do I learn to become like Jesus? And the 4 P's are just simple. Practice, patience, persistence, and prayer. And we could have a lesson on these just by themselves. But you just got to just work on doing what the Lord asks you to do. Just do it. Practice, practice, practice. A piano player becomes good because of practice, practice, practice. I love watching little children feed themselves for the first time. You know why it's so fun? Because they make such a wonderful mess. And I don't have to clean it up. You know? I mean, there's just food all over the face. They get that spoon, and they don't even know how to hold it, do they? And they get that slop or whatever they're eating, you know, creamed carrots, I don't know, creamed peas, and they get it, and do they hit their mouth the first time? No, it's just all over, and they put the spoon down, and they just, And then it's all over here, it's all over there. It's wonderful watching that kid eat because they make a mess of things, don't they? So mom's like, oh, no, 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 do it this way, do it this way. And finally the mom gets so frustrated, she says, that's it. I can't take these messes anymore. I'm going to feed you for the rest of your life. Now that eliminate the mess? It would, wouldn't it? But we got a problem. We're going to have a dysfunctional kid when it comes to just basic motor skills and learning how to take care of themselves. What's my point? Following Christ, you're going to make a mess of things. You're going to attempt to do things, and they're going to blow up in your face like, oh, man, that didn't work out. And you're going to be thinking, I'll just quit because I can't do this. Nothing wrong. You just got to keep trying. You just keep it. Good little Johnny. You know, let's get it in your mouth this time. And over time, that child will learn to feed itself, will he not? Same thing with us spiritually. Practice, practice, practice. And that means you got to have patience. And that means I'm not going to fix this in a day if you're working on something you're trying to overcome. Or you say, well, I taught someone and it never worked out, so I don't think I'm cut out for teaching. No, practice and go back and be patient. One of the best gospel preachers I ever heard, his first lesson was so terrible, they all come to, you should never preach again. They was honest. I guess he was bad. But through patience and persistence and praying to God to help him and following Christ, he became the man that he was. So again, we could talk about all these things. You just don't quit. You keep on keeping on, and then you just keep calling to God for help. Then this is the more difficult thing. Hebrews chapter 12. Since our Father loves us so much, and since fathers discipline their children to correct them when they do things wrong, here we have a promise in Hebrews chapter 12 that God's going to discipline us. Furthermore, he said, we have earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respect to them. How much shall we rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we might share his holiness, divine nature. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And I guess what I'm saying this for is that sometimes learning to be like Christ can hurt. It can be painful. And the reason is going back to what we said last week, that Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He was put in scenarios and situations where obeying God's going to cause a lot of misery in his life, physically and other ways. And at that time, he had a choice. Am I going to obey God and follow him and do his will, or I'm going to bail out and do what I want? So my question for you is this. If it was good enough for God to ask his son to suffer, are we above that ourselves? Can we expect God to ask the same thing for us so we can learn a little holiness? Now, suffering is not always a bad thing. In this case, it's a good thing. Because it's when you suffer is when you learn life's lessons. So let me give you an example. I saw this survey, and it'll introduce my example. They were looking at values in America. America said 77% said they're declining. But the main culprits are lack of Bible reading, negative influence from media. Those two things. Not reading the Bible, listening to the world. Did you get that? A third said, we're not listening to God, and we're listening to the world instead. And the third reason is corruption from corporate greed. I don't know how that one got in there, but that's the mindset of people today. Well, suppose you're in a work environment or a family environment. We got people that treat you poorly, and that can be devastating. You hate to go to work because they're mean. They say bad things, they're backstabbing, they're always trying to set you up for failure. And I've talked to some members here that had that. Now, if you've been reading your Bible and listening to Christ and learning from him, you're going to be so aware of what he has told you that in those scenarios, these words are going to pop into your head because you've memorized them. You've made them part of your mindset, your heart. You have heard it said, Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. you shall love your neighbors and hate your enemy. Jesus said, I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you in order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes the sun to rise on the evil, the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Don't the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you're to be perfect, just like your heavenly Father is perfect. That's what it says. Christ is calling us to be perfect like God when it comes to loving. So I'm thinking this, oh, okay, I got to pray for those who speak evil of me. I got to bless them that persecute me. I don't take vengeance on my own. I do good. That's Romans chapter 12. So there's your head. And so you can count on it. Listen carefully. Following Jesus, he'll lead you to the exact scenario that's opposite of the lesson you're trying to learn. We're going to have a 4th of July picnic, and we're only inviting family and friends. Why? Sorry, Bruce. No, because you want to have fun, right? You don't invite your enemies, do you? Or people that are problem makers? And Jesus said, that's what everyone does in the world. But if you want to learn the true lesson of how to love those who don't love you, I'm going to lead you and put you in a situation you're surrounded around people that hate you. And we're going to watch what you do. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't learn these lessons of divine character by having it easy. You learn them by suffering. It's true with football. Two-a-days are coming up. You suffer to get in better shape, right? Same way spiritually. You say, well, I have a temper. Okay, well, we're going to put you in scenarios where your temper's tested. And you're going to be around people that are just ornery and mean, and they're going to push your buttons on purpose. Well, that's just, next time you're in one of those, you go, oh, boy, maybe the Lord let me here following him so I can learn the lesson. It's not about them. It's about me. Well, I need to be more loving. He's going to give you an opportunity where you have a chance to do something for someone else, and you have a choice. Do you walk away? Or do you actually extend yourself and do something for them? See, that's how we learn these lessons, and God will keep taking us back to the very thing that makes us so miserable until we conquer it. I don't care if it's a porn addiction or drinking or whatever it is. The reason maybe you keep getting set back to it is because you haven't conquered it yet. It just doesn't go away. You have to change on the inside. Don't conform, but transform. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Be patient in your disciplining of me. So that all being said, let's bring it to a close. You know, following Jesus is the most amazing journey you can be on. He's going to take you places that you've never imagined. And you're going to experience highs and joys that are just beyond this world. But you're going to have some lows too, aren't you? So three things real quick as we review. Accept you were born to be like Christ. Accept it. No more of this defeatist attitude, well, I can't be it. I can't be like Jesus. No. You can be like Christ. You were born to be like him. You were born. You know, babies eating is one thing, but it's really exciting to see them take their first step. Yeah. Isn't that right? That's just, wow, they are walking. Then they fall. Oh, great, you fell. I mean, great, you took a step. Now, is it important, though, babies learn to crawl before they walk? It develops motor skills and spatial things. They understand that babies that skip that little pat or area in their life have problems later. So it's good for them to learn to crawl. Now, before they crawl, do they have to learn to just sit on their... That's a big thing when they get up and sit up by themselves. Like, wow, they're sitting. And you take the pictures. Now, before they sit, what do they have to do even before that? You all did this. And your parents were Googling you, too. You have to learn to roll over. Because a baby is like a turtle. When you put it on its back, it just sits there and kicks its feet, right? And then pretty soon, it develops the strength and ability and coordination to roll over. Now what do I do? They're stuck until they learn to roll back. And then pretty soon, they're rolling across, right? And then that turns into crawling. Now why do I say all that? It takes time. You might not be there yet. But you're born to be like the Son of God, who you are. Some people are gifted. Some people have to work at their talent. Some people don't have any talent at all. And you say, well, that's me. No, you were born to be like Christ. It's in your spiritual DNA. And if you keep following him, you will become like him. There's just no way it cannot happen unless we just bail out and just stop learning, stop following. Secondly, continue in doing what you do best while you work on the rest or maybe the next. What do I mean by that? That baby now is starting to walk. Now it's going to work on keeping its balance. Does it give up crawling in the meantime? No, I'm done with crawling. I'm walking or nothing. No, continue to do what you've already mastered. Excel at it. Abound in it. And realize, yeah, I've done a lot. I've come a long ways. And for that baby, they can get across the floor. And then later, you'll continue to do that while you work on walking. Pretty soon, you'll master walking, and you'll continue to do your best in that while you take the next challenge, and that's maybe running. We want to be from newborn Christian to full grown just immediately. And if I'm not able to teach someone and I teach them and it just falls on my face and it blows up and it doesn't work, like I can't do anything. My marriage is a mess, finance is a mess. No, it takes little steps. Rejoice in what you've done. Continue to improve what you do the best at, and then work on that which you are still trying to accomplish. Thirdly, trust Jesus. Because we're following him. We're not following a man. We're not following a preacher. We're not following our parents. We're following the creator of this heavens and this earth. We're following the one who made all things, who holds all things together, and for whom all things exist. Jesus Christ, our Lord, Lord, and King of Kings. He won't let you down. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And let me just say this. Remember that in the text he was talking about the guy with a mote in his eye, a beam in his own eye, worried about the mote in someone else's eye. That's in this text where he says, when you're fully trained, you'll be just like Jesus. See, we're not here to worry about our brother or sister, what they're doing or not doing, primarily. First and foremost, we're worried about ourselves. And it's interesting, in counseling, they'll say, when people are upset about others, like, I just can't believe they do that. It just bothers me so much that person does that. Have you ever had that feeling? Often they say the reason you have that reaction to them is because you first see it in yourself. The reason it upsets you what they're doing because you know that is present in your own life. And that's like an aha moment, like, oh, wow. Now, let me understand. It doesn't mean it's correct in their life, does it? Because what you see is correct. They should change that. But the lesson is you need to start working what? Right here. And let's stop looking for what's wrong in our brethren. Stop looking for what's wrong in the church. And start looking at ourselves, what I can fix. And let's start looking for what is right in Jesus. Because we follow him. And there's nothing wrong with him. He'll never let you down. That's what discipleship's all about. We're going to sing a song. Brian, come on up. What will your answer be? Because it's the biggest question in your life. And if you have not been following Jesus, you have this opportunity right now. You say, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. Yep, stand up. That's fine.